Just before I get into this message, let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we pray that we might do that this morning, and that the message, based upon the word of God, and in fact, many scriptures in the word of God, would inspire us to live greater and more profitable lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lloyd and Evelyn Decker, a couple in their early 70s, retired, decided to sell their home by a mobile trailer, whatever you call those things, and travel the country. Especially they were interested in visiting their older son, Anthony, living in Indiana, and their daughter, Deidre, living in Oregon. As a child, Lloyd really adored Deidre. He called her his princess. Because he loved the little girl so much, he didn't want her to participate in sports or activities that would in any way cause her pretty little dresses to become soiled. Deidre big time rebelled against this. As soon as she was old enough, she left home, traveled around the country, and found the most difficult job she could find in construction, road work, or anything that caused her to get dirty and sweat. And she prided herself in her ability to outwork a lot of men. And she was really rebelling against mom and dad, and especially her father. Every day, she got dirty and sweaty, and she was kind of proud of that. She continued to be angry, lonely, unhappy, without friends. But in her heart, she was letting Lloyd know that she was in rebellion against him and mom. When her parents arrived to visit, Deidre took them out to the construction site where she was working and told them how dirty and sweaty she got. And the parents hung around for a while and tried to do some things for Deidre, but it wasn't long before they ascertained that Deidre didn't want anything to do with them, and so they left. They tried acts of love, but Deidre had nothing to do with it. She was angry, she was pride-filled, and she was filled with hatred. The parents left brokenhearted. I want that to soak in for just a minute. What kind of emotions do you experience when you hear something like that? Do you get angry with Deidre because she rebelled against her dad? Do you feel sorry for the parents because they tried to show love and it wasn't accepted? What kind of emotions do you have when you think about that particular situation? Do your hearts go out to the parents? Do they go out to Deidre? Do they go out to everybody? Would you see yourself as a fixer to maybe correct the situation? Here's what I'm getting at. I think we've all had some situations like what this story tells us. I had some issues with my dad. It took a long time to work through some of those issues. But eventually, we ended pretty good friends. I'm always thankful because even though we had some issues, my dad did save my life. We were fishing over at a place called Springer, and they had all those cement situations to stop the erosion of dirt. And my dad kept telling me, don't get too close to the moss, because those things were filled with moss, and if you step on the moss, you're a goner. Do you know that's like saying, step to the moss? And I did, and I was a goner. I had boots on up to my knees. They filled with water right away. And I had no idea what was going to happen until this strong arm picked me up by the nape of the neck and threw me up. And it was my dad. And I've always appreciated that. My children have undoubtedly had issues with me. My oldest daughter and son-in-law are here today, and we appreciate that. If you want to find out about my weaknesses, go and talk to my daughter. She would be glad to share that with you. Thoughts and attitudes. Situations in life. Issues that we have to deal with. I asked Gwen, did you have any issues with your parents? She thought and thought. Well, once I had an issue with my mother. Once. Did you ever have an issue with your father? No. I couldn't even relate to that. Can you? To live your entire young teenage life, no issues with your parents. Well, I've given her plenty of issues to make up for it. Oh, my. What I want us to do is to relate this whole scenario to our relationship to the Lord. It's easy to get disappointed with God. We have certain expectations as to how we want God to deal with our lives. And we pray a lot of prayers about this and about that, and it doesn't seem like anything much happens. And so we tend to have an issue with the Lord. I want to remind you that we live in 3 days. God's day, which is over, and now we're in man's day. And God has allowed man in this time to do that which seems right in his own eyes. Those are generally in conflict with what God has in mind. But the next day that's coming, praise the Lord, is the Lord's day, when all this will be made right. Let me ask you a simple question. If you were sitting down and you picked up your gadget that turns on the TV, push, nothing happens. What would you do? I'd call Kathy. But she isn't always around to take care of that. In fact, we had a little episode this weekend with that. I found out that our smart TV does things that it's way smarter than I am. But what would you do? You'd probably examine the remote. You'd probably think maybe there was something wrong with the TV. The bottom line is the signal would be coming in, but something wasn't getting it. And that is so true in our relationship to God. The signal is always coming in. It never, ever stops. But sometimes we don't turn on our remote, our spiritual remote, and receive the signal. I just want you to know that that's so important. God is always sending His signal to us through the Holy Spirit of God. We just need to be open to receive that signal and to follow what He has in mind for us. There's a few scriptures that I want us to look at, which simply reminds us of God's signal, God's love. But God demonstrated. I mean, He did this while we were yet sinners. God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, away from God, not caring about God, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. This is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't start out loving God. But that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, it's not hard for little children to learn to love God. But as they grow and as they deal with the issues of life, that love dissipates. But it's so important to teach our children, and then as they grow older, that the message of God is always there and we need to be receiving it. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, I like this, as a fragrant offering. We don't think of what Jesus Christ did at the cross as fragrance, but it was fragrant to His Father because He was making it possible for everyone, every place, to be saved if they wanted to. Just as Christ loved us, gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5:2. And then from Hebrews, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. That's a powerful statement. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. Think about that. What do you do with your eyes? Generally, you're looking around. But this passage of Scripture, and you see a lot of different things. It says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Wow. Endured the cross. Shame. And sat down at the right hand of the Father or God. Wow. That's what He did for us, guys. Now, I just want to go through those once more. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't think that we understand that passage of Scripture extremely well. This was a demonstration of God. How do you demonstrate? How are you guys going to demonstrate your love for your spouse on Valentine's Day? Do you know that the average person in the United States on Valentine's Day, the average person spends $236? Well, you better dig a little deeper. You probably weren't thinking about that. But that's the average. It's one of the most profitable holidays in the year. I don't know what to tell you, but it's going to cost you dearly. Nah, you guys won't do that, will you? But God demonstrated his love for us. And we need to learn to demonstrate our love not by $236, but of our treatment and our appreciation and our words of graciousness and kindness to our mates. We have that opportunity every day, but it's just a good reminder on Valentine's Day that we need to do that. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us and sent his Son, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. A lot of people think that they have to get better before they can accept Christ. That's not the way it works. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. God doesn't want you to try to reinvent yourself. He wants the privilege of doing that. He wants to take us and make us into his image, not we take ourselves and make us into some other image. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? We love those passages of Scripture. And then life really comes. We have some trials. We have some tribulations. We have some disappointments. And then we start to say and think, does God really love me? Does God really love me? Gwen and I have thought quite a bit in the past few weeks about my accident. And we were going over it with our daughter yesterday. And the more we looked at that situation, the more we saw the hand of God. I hit the sewing machine so hard that it became crooked. Some of the screws became loose. A friend of mine in Quinter, Kansas was out walking. Slipped on ice, hit his head, killed him instantly. So we praise God for his graciousness and his kindness in getting us through that. Let me read this passage of Scripture once again. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or word? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. From Romans 8, 35 through 37. I want to introduce you to this book. And you guys, you can get it free. Did you hear that? Free. It won't cost you $236. Do any of you, how many of you have read Louis L'Amour? Yeah. Most guys have read that and they like that. How many of you like spy novels? Well, I see some hands go up. This is a true account of a man who worked for Voice of Martyrs. And it is the kind of book that when you start reading it, you can't put it down. Because it's so intriguing. In order for this man to work in the Sudan, where Christians are hotly persecuted, and other places, it's like had to be a spy. On his computer, there was a section of the hard drive that he could lock up as he met with Christian people and talked about what Vom might be able to do for them so that nobody could get into it. Bottom line is, eventually, he got caught. He was put in terrible, terrible prison conditions. He was beaten. He was starved. He was not allowed to contact his family. He was not allowed to contact the embassy. He was in prison, and these prisons were terrible, terrible places. And by the way, in his prison cell, there were 23 men who were all Muslims. And he was the only one who was not. And they made him a slave. He had to wash their dirty shorts. He had to clean the bathroom stool by hand. And then they took a broom handle and beat him. And beat him and beat him. So when the scripture says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or word?" No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Bottom line is, this man became a conqueror. Not only did he suffer tremendously for the Lord, but he was able to bring a number of those people into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They sentenced him to life, but the Lord released him. And now his job for Voice of Martyrs is to go around and share what he experienced and how we need to be praying for those who are held in captivity because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he first got into prison, he felt like God was punishing him. What have I done wrong? How have I misapplied the word of God? But he worked through all of that, and he finally understood that God had a purpose for him in those difficult situations. Sometimes we are put in a difficult situation, and we need to ask God, "What do you want from me in this difficult situation?" That's how we maintain a long relationship with the Lord. No matter what happens, we're seeking the Lord and asking him, "Why? What do you want from me?" And we find it in the Word of God. And in some situations, he speaks directly to our heart. More than anything else, God wants to have a loving relationship with you, and he wants to have a loving relationship with me. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God would rather have you wrestle with him than walk away. Sometimes we are afraid to say, "Hey, God, I'm a little upset with you." God already knows that, by the way. We think that if we don't say it, he won't know it. But he does know it. And sometimes in life, we get a little upset with God because we don't think things are going the way they should. But all things work together for good who love God and are called according to his purposes. So keep that in mind. If you've been hurt, if you have questions about your relationship to the Lord, don't harbor anger as Deidre did. Be honest with God. That's one thing he wants from us as we pray. Honesty. Brutal honesty. How do you feel in your relationship to the Lord? I just love that verse. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or nakedness or famine or anything else? No. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. There's an interesting passage of scripture in Matthew 22, 1 through 10. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. Wow. But they refused to come. Then he sent more servants to say, come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The king was enraged. He said to his servant, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. That's kind of the way it is today, folks. We are so busy. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke talks about this same situation. And he names certain situations about what people do. One guy said, well, I bought this field. I can't come to the wedding because I have to go and see what this field is like. How dumb. He bought the field without seeing it, and now he says, I got to go see it. And the other guy said, well, I bought some oxen. I don't know if they're any good or not. I've got to go try the oxen out to make sure that they're okay. You can come up with any kind of reason or excuse in one's relationship to the Lord. But the important thing is to listen to what the Lord says and get to the wedding feast, because that's a wonderful time. It's going to be a great, wonderful time. You remember that verse of Scripture we talked about a while back from Revelation 3:20? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You remember I shared with you that this is not a passage of Scripture for those who are outside of Christ. This is a passage of Scripture for Christians. And it's Jesus saying, I'm knocking at your door. Come on in. Let's have fellowship together. Let's eat together. That's what he wants from us as we come to the end of man's day. Wow. But I can't seem to fit in time to read the Word of God. I'm so busy. Did you know that you could read through the entire Scripture if you'll read it for 12 minutes a day? 12 minutes a day. Can you find that much time? You'll read it from Genesis to Revelation. Let's go back to the Decker family. Once again, Lloyd Decker had a heart attack from shoveling snow. And then a little bit later, he decided he would try to shovel Deidre's walks filled with snow. He had another heart attack and died instantly. When she found out about it, here was her statement. I didn't ask him to do it. I didn't want him to do it. And she refused to see his feeble effort as an act of love. So like Deidre, we have a Father who has demonstrated his love towards us. And we don't want to reject it. We want to receive it and rejoice in it and praise God for it. So as you leave today, remember how much God loves you, what he has in mind for you, and that if you have issues and questions, he wants you to bring those to him because he already knows what your issues and questions are. And it's good for us to let him know that we know and that we can trust him with everything in our hearts and in our lives. Now, this morning, you probably get weary of me offering an invitation, but we do it anyway. We know that some need to receive Christ as Savior. And the way you do that is to open your heart, confess that Jesus is Lord, and ask him to come into your heart and life. And sometimes it's beneficial to come forward and do that. You can do it right where you are, but sometimes it's just beneficial to publicly make that decision. And that's what we invite you to do this morning as we stand and sing, My Savior's Love. Boy, does he love us so, so much.